This one.
So that's my goal.
I do it. I think I know what I'm saying.
I think so.
Oh, there you go.
We're just starting.
I sent you texts.
I did not get it.
You must have your home phone or something.
That happens.
I said I wasn't gonna be able to make it unless you needed me for a quorum.
We need to.
Oh.
No answers for you, Kevin.
I changed my plans. I'm leaving in the morning.
Oh, deer hunting?
Cold work tonight.
Yes, it is.
I think it's some sort of mix.
How unscheduled do you guys stay? Smart, people like here?
Some meat.
As long as, yeah, as long as we have a quorum of supervisors, so we had to have three, and there were three of us, so.
Okay.
We'll go ahead and start the meeting. It is 6:01. Teddy, certification of compliance. Oh, I should probably mention that we have Supervisor Dodge, Supervisor Underhill, Supervisor Decker, and myself, Supervisor Skalitsky, is excused. And we have one youth in governance tonight.
Yeah, Emily is at a Skills USA competition this evening.
But we're happy to have Ashley here.
We are.
Okay, certification of compliance.
Yes, the meeting was posted on November 28th and December 3rd.
Okay. Our feature program tonight is Kenosha Achievement Center Green Works Program.
So I would like to introduce Meryl Strickers, who is the person who did a lot of the design, much of the work with the Green Works Program, and beginning in Racine County, and then the expansion into Kenosha County. So Meryl, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, you're funny standing. There's a few of us, so I'm gonna sit till I need to stand. I wanted to just start by asking you to just consider for a second who taught you or how you learned how to garden. Because chances are, it was either a grandparent or parent, or maybe when you were young, you wanted to make some money and you were mowing lawns for people or raking. But there was a process there where someone taught you. You learned somehow. And the population, do you have that in your head, who that person was or where you learned? Or maybe you were a homeowner and you started thinking about value of your property, landscaped versus unlandscaped? Because the population that we were targeting at Kenosha Achievement Center did not have those life experiences. If they had access to an outdoor environment, they were typically very supervised, and people were afraid they would get hurt. So they were very sheltered, even when they were outside. They didn't have the science courses that you typically have in a high school education. They didn't grow up having lemonade stands and mowing lawns for extra money. They weren't expected to rake. So they're missing these steps that you have along the way when you're growing up. Do you know what the Kenosha Achievement Center does? Okay, so I don't need to go, that you know that the consumers typically have different developmental disabilities. More specifically, the population that we targeted was their pre-vocational program consumers. And these are people who have the skills to, say, work maybe doing piecework in their facility area. But most of them have not had jobs outside of a sheltered environment. So what happened is that we had this program in Racine where we had been working with adults with developmental disabilities. And the intention was always to come to Kenosha, because part of the program, you know, it's an extension program, but it utilizes the Master Gardeners. And the Master Gardener Association is a combined county, Kenosha-Racine. It just so happens that the first need was identified in Racine, and so it kind of tended to be Racine-based, and but we are fortunate that this year, all of the forces came together to create a program at KAC. So you have all of these players at Extension who were part of that. Barb, Amy came in because we had planning sessions because we knew that the goal was to go into the farmer's market. We brought in Cindy Armstrong to do
nutrition educators.
To do the nutrition, to do programming nutrition. But what we knew when we were designing the program, because I did a needs assessment, is that it had to be where we were teaching them not only horticulture vocational skills, like how to work in a greenhouse, but we had to also teach them how to garden, how to relate to plants. They didn't have those life experiences, so it was a very holistic program. And also, I just wanted to also mention Rose Scora, because over when she was in Racine, I was constantly tapping her brain too. So there are all these players in Extension that were coming together. In Kenosha Achievement Center, they had a new executive director who was willing, and a new program director who was willing to go into a partnership with us. So Barb and Teddy crafted a MOU, and the partnership began. And this was in the fall of last year. Designed the program. It's very robust, and the goal of it, like I said, was to have all these life experiences, all this wellness in there as well, but also to give these consumers an exploration of jobs and tasks that they would be performing in the horticulture industry, so that they could potentially go on and find employment if that's what they that their passion turned out to be. So I want to share with you, because I love sharing about GreenWorks, the things that we did this year with these consumers. I have a lot of slides, so I'm going to kind of go fast, because I want you to have a feel for how robust this programming was and how really life-changing it was for them. So the first thing we did is and there was about 15 consumers that were involved in the program. First thing we did is we had them come out to the greenhouse that we have out in, at the Southern Center in Union Grove. So they would bus in for that because at the time they didn't have a hoop house. And we started teaching them how to seed plants, how to water, which is very tricky for people who have cognitive disabilities, because that's something that you really need to do evenly and thoroughly. I told you I'm going to go fast through these slides. You stop me if you want, but I just want to show you the kinds of they used a lot of fine motor skills.
And I should point out that next to almost every single one of those is a Master Gardener volunteer.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And the ratio that we had was probably often one to one, but probably one to three at the most. And here, so you kind of saw that we were doing the actual horticulture in the greenhouse, but we were also, like I said, teaching them kind of craft things so that, again, they can develop a relationship with plants. And when I chose the activities that we would do in the lessons, I would try to pick some that would also potentially be suitable for a micro enterprise. So these are seed balls. It's a mixture of clay, compost, and seeds. And you roll them up, and water, some moisture. You roll them up and they dry out, and people can use them to launch, to get to hard to reach places. But there's actually a market for that. So some of the activities were very much intended to have potential for small business and some for fun. And here's Barb teaching propagation. Again, we didn't just teach this is how to do the plant propagation. We were also going on to that step of you could do this. You could then sell them. You could make money. It's not going to be a huge, they're not going to be the next Steins or Milligers, but potentially they could be earning some income with a small business of their own, with support. Now, this is what we were doing out in the greenhouse, out at Southern Center. But back at Kenosha Achievement Center, I was busy teaching them basic botany and you know, you have, it's so hard to communicate how the doors that I open, and not just, I mean, I say me, I'm talking about us, to them, to just learning how to, you know, what the names of a flower is or a plant. It was a whole new world for them. Now this was a field trip that we arranged to go out to the Shepherd's College in Union Grove. And here they had a chance to apply the skills that they had been learning in our smaller hoop house. Now they're in a larger facility, kind of more of a larger commercial environment. And you can just see how happy they are. There's something very intrinsically powerful about working with plants. It's very healing, rewarding. And I was constantly being told feedback through the grapevine about how their group home guardians and their parents were remarking on the changes in their attitude. They were excited to go. They knew it was going to be gardening, you know, that day. And over and over I heard that there was reverberation, or what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, there were things being carried over into the home. Yeah. Now, the thing, you can see again, the master gardeners are right there working closely with the consumers. And the thing about the master gardeners is, as a volunteer, I don't know exactly what the very latest one is, but I think it was like $14, $15 is their hourly value if you were to...
Oh, no, it's like $23 now because they're a trained volunteer.
Well, okay. I don't know where they're getting $23 an hour, but okay. So let's just assume that they're getting $23 an hour, which is what the calculation they use for a volunteer. These volunteers would be even above that because all been trained...
That's what I was referring to, is the master gardeners are worth $23 an hour versus a 12 or 14 for a standard volunteer.
Okay. $14 for a standard volunteer. And these master gardeners not only had master gardener training, but then they had specialized training beyond that in therapeutic horticulture. And therapeutic horticulture is developing gardening programs for a social purpose, to solve some sort of social need. So then, I gotta go fast through this. That was the winter, and now we're into spring. The Parkside students, the International Club, came out and helped actually construct raised beds at Kenosha Achievement Center. And you can see that string there is setting them up to do square foot gardening, which is an intensive gardening practice. Six beds were created, and then the consumers, you know, filled them. And then this area at Kenosha Achievement Center is an old bed that we kind of revitalized. And this woman loved planting flowers, wasn't so interested in the vegetable gardening. So that kind of became Sarah's flower garden. You can see they're just working on the construction of it. And it was the longest, coldest spring this year. We thought we would never actually get out there. And then you can see we planted. And what you do with those grids is you can put plants. You know, it becomes visually easier to manage because you're not now looking at this big area, but this smaller area. We also designed and developed two butterfly gardens and talked a lot about the environmental aspects of gardening, natives versus non-natives. That's me talking about a butterfly house. And then this was a plot that they already had, and this is one of the consumers planting it in rows. They also did a lot of beautification around Kenosha Achievement Center containers. And we continued, as the plants grew, to do wellness activities. Those are bandanas that they were making, personalized bandanas. Lots of happy faces. now, of course, no garden is complete without a scarecrow. So they had to make their scarecrow, and that was Juan. And they also did this incredible mural on their fence. And the community, you know, when we talk about, we have Extension, you know, all the people in Extension were supportive, but also the community really came to bat every time they were asked. They needed paint, they went to Lowe's, and they gave them paint. You can just see the beauty of it. Finally, we have Harvest, and they got to taste vegetables that they had never tasted before. They were thrilled with kohlrabi. They thought that was just so exotic. And then they finally, let's get to it. Finally, we achieved our goal, which was to get to the farmer's market, the Columbus Street Market. And that was very successful. And I'm almost done here, but I just want to say that that picture is of them teaching students that came by about the vegetables. Mm-hmm. So you really know that you've done you've got it when they can actually teach someone else about it. So they made a little bit of money. It's not the largest market. And this is me. And the reason I love this photo is because I am so personally and professionally proud of this program. Proud to have been with Extension representing it, because I feel like we did with this program exactly what Extension is designed to do. We took all of that university knowledge, best practices in horticulture, in industry, with the therapeutic horticulture, and we boiled that down to address a community need and made it happen. And that is my understanding of what we are supposed to be doing. And now Kenosha Achievement Center has just a fantastic program. I left in August. They hired someone, as they were supposed to. They used the curriculum that we developed for them, and it is independent. That's what it's all about. That is what we do. So that's the end of my presentation. Any questions? Because I could wax lyrical about frameworks for a long time.
We should say we are continuing with the program in support of them.
Oh, absolutely.
And so we will be putting together a new MOU with them for next year and continuing in a kind of a consulting and support role and doing some of their classes and teaching. Plus, our nutrition education program will also continue their classes with the clients too.
And the Master Gardeners, we just went through a planning session, and one of their, because this programming can be used not just for adults with developmental disabilities, it's really designed for any alternative audience. And the Master Gardeners, the kind of community, keep on saying work with veterans. So we're actually going to start that this year in Racine, and then subsequently, hopefully, we'll get out to Kenosha. I don't even know exactly what veteran services there are there. I have some connections, at least in Racine. And I think that KC is very, they have, every one of them wants to be in the program again, and then 15 more that want to be in it. So now they've got 30, and that they're not even advertising it. They're not promoting it. So the demand is tremendous.
So you said there's 15 kids in there?
Consumers, this year.
Mm-hmm. What's the age group?
They tend to be older.
30?
I would say 50? They're probably more like 30 to 55. They're older. And they've been very sheltered. Now, that's a big, long topic of how, as a culture, society, we have programs for a special needs or adults with developmental disabilities. The trend was very much to keep them in sheltered environments. The trend probably in the last, probably since the 70s, has been to have community integration. And that's a big part of how this was designed, because that going out to the farmer's market is about developing community relations. Any other questions?
Meryl, I just want to add that I know you were part of their celebration event, and that the perspective of the KAC is, from their perspective, it was very successful. I mean, they feel like it was a win-win for them and hit what they were trying to achieve and see this as a positive thing, so thank you.
There is no doubt that this has really made a lot of people happy. I'm proud to be part of it.
And I should add, Meryl should be proud because she's done an outstanding job. KC actually requested a full curriculum, and she actually wrote a complete curriculum for them to follow. And that's a lot of work to do. Certainly, I wouldn't have the time to do something like this.
What would you expect out of the veterans?
Excuse me?
If you brought the veterans in, how would you?
We're going to start this year really slowly. We're going to, I haven't met and talked, but this is pretty much where I'm thinking it's going to go. We're going to do the wellness pieces, so probably flower arranging, planting containers, because we'll probably stick with veterans like in a nursing facility. But the potential is tremendous. They have a lot of mental health issues, and working in a garden is very therapeutic. We're not equipped yet. We don't have enough knowledge to develop a program yet. Master gardeners aren't trained. I'm not trained, and I don't feel we can go there until we get that information and knowledge of how to design a program with veterans who are suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome. I mean, they can be violent. They can, there are things, considerations that need to be taken into account. But I would eventually see either a vocational program where we're doing a similar thing, which we're helping them train to work in the green industry, or just strictly therapeutic, where they're coming in just to be in a safe environment, and non-threatening, and nurturing both themselves and the plants.
It would vary much. It would differ from group to group. You can do, many times you can adapt similar activities, so in some ways, you can use a similar curriculum, but how you do it and how you work with each particular group based on, is it more, a cognitive need, a physical need that you're trying to, work with? Is it an emotional concern? So all of those things, you can actually take the same activity and modify it slightly so that you work with whatever the main needs are of the clients or the audience that you're working with. But there's so much research about being out, being indoors or outdoors, interacting with plants that is healing to people in many ways that we know it can be used in a wide variety of audiences. So it really is just kind of held back by our imaginations and our ability to serve all these different audiences.
Thank you, Meryl.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Meryl.
Love to share it.
Thanks,
Meryl. Okay. Teddy, youth and governance updates.
Okay, I am passing out to you the attendance records of our current youth and governance members as of November 1st. Our policy states that attendance is, youth and governance members must attend at least 50% of their meetings by November 1st. Since I wasn't at the November meeting here, we're doing it now in December, so we are a bit a month behind. But I've contacted all of the county staff who are responsible for taking attendance at the meetings, and here's the records they have provided to me. So you can see that we only have one person who's at the 50% mark, and since he's at 50%, he meets the criteria. But are either of you, any of you on Public Works?
Skolitsky is.
You may just want to share this with him and have a conversation and say, you may want to make sure your attendance is consistently positive through the rest of the year, just because, and there could be some circumstances there regarding when those meetings were held, but. Yeah, so we have, at this time we have nobody we need to replace. So they've met their criteria.
That's good, because I'd hate to go through that again.
Well, I got one question. When Patrick was at all the meetings for the budgets, that didn't count?
No, because they are considered special meetings.
Okay, so those aren't...
No, because it wouldn't be fair to anyone who doesn't show up. That's like, you know, that would, then it would, then that's like saying, well, if a supervisor doesn't attend, then that's going to have to go against them too.
And they're considered budget hearings?
Right.
Not necessarily finance committee meetings.
Okay. Right. I was just curious, because I just remember him being there, so.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah,
good to
I
know. Very positive
really
that he
positive,
was there
yeah.
regularly.
Positive. Yeah, he showed up.
Very good. Okay, I'm going to move on. I sent you quite a few documents. I have some extra copies. If anybody needs copies of, I made three copies. So does anybody, I'm going to start with the history. And that's more just a background piece. Does anybody need a copy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, you've got all that paper already and you need more?
I need more. My battery's...
Actually, did you need any?
My battery's...
Is it in here or is it...
No, I sent it via email.
Okay, yeah.
These are the attachments that I sent last Friday, I believe.
Okay.
This is nothing more than just an updated record of the policies and the procedures that we have been, as a committee, you have implemented. And so I just updated it through April, which was the newest policy implementation, which was the fact that if youth choose to participate, they can't participate in both youth as resources and youth in governance, and they have to make a choice. So that's the latest update on that. So I just wanted you to have that. I did take the time to update. Here you go, Ashley. I'll give one to you. Oh, you're good, Supervisor Underhill. The youth and governance process or the schedule, and this is, I think, will be helpful to us as a committee as we move forward to know what month we're doing what. So let's just review where we'll be in January. In preparation for next month, we will solicit nominations of all high schools, where both the high school principal and the school counselor receive physically a letter. And then we put public service announcements in all of our media, so anybody can nominate a youth. So nominations are solicited in January. Then by February, we have all those nominations collected in our office, and every youth who has been nominated receives a letter inviting them to submit an application. Okay? The applications are due by March 1st, and then we do the pre-screening and select the 24 youth who will be interviewed by you over two nights in March. So we'll be setting those dates for March interviews. The committee chairperson then tallies all those interview rating forms that you complete and prepares the recommendations. In April, you meet as a committee at your April meeting. You make your recommendation to the county board chairperson, who then, we hope, approves those youth. And then we let all youth know to be notified of their status. Either they've been selected or thank you for applying, but you were not selected. And then this committee chairperson appoints supervisors to serve as mentors. And then if that mentor or adult has not yet completed a criminal background check in a previous role as a mentor, then that's done by the Division of Personnel. The background checks are good for 4 years. Okay, so we've started keeping good records about that. Then the process begins in May, and we say goodbye and congratulations to our outgoing youth and governance members, and we recognize and bring on our new youth and governance members at that county board meeting in May. And then we hold an orientation that night before the county board meeting, as do the mentors also have a small orientation, and we have that reception prior to the county board meeting. June has been our annual tour that we do for all departments and divisions. And then October is the month we take the attendance to determine their attendance as of November 1st. And the cycle begins again. Okay, mm-hmm. So now let's look at the documents. So we said that they get I'm sorry.
We do exit interviews or some sort of form that the ones leaving fill out or something like that?
We do an evaluation.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. We ask them, you know, about.
That's in May? Or?
Yeah. In May, exactly. Okay. Yep, handed to them in May, yes.
Actually, that's a good question, Aaron, because now that John is gone, they're not doing their quarterly get-togethers either.
And they weren't doing them last year either.
Oh, they didn't?
They decided they did, they, yeah, the youth themselves made the decision not to do that.
I thought that was such a good idea.
Yeah, but I will add the evaluation because that's an important component. And you're right, we have them complete that in May, so I'll add that for May. Thank you for that, that's good. So once they get the congratulations, you've been nominated, please apply, then the application is sent to them. And I wanted to draw to your attention the one sentence that was added as a result of some discussion at previous meetings, but I just want to make sure everyone's comfortable. And that is that we, as a committee, I believe you had decided that it was important for them to attend the bus tour. If they can't attend the bus tour because they know, A, they're going to be on vacation, they're going to be working. I mean, we had a lot of reasons why youth were not able to attend that tour in June. If they know that now, we're saying don't apply. Because you can't make the tour.
I agree with it. I want to make sure that you're comfortable. I've been on a tour, and it helps as a springboard for them to learn about county government, the tour does. They can kind of put it together in their mind. Mm-hmm. I think that the tour should be mandatory.
So how many showed up for the tour last time?
You know what, that's a great question.
Not
I
that many.
It was probably less than half.
Really?
Yeah, it was very few. We were a very small group. Out of the 14, six maybe seven.
And when we first started doing the tour, the bus was filled.
Yes. Yeah, and it's always the last Wednesday in June. So it says right here.
But it's good to get that date out there.
Right, it's right in here. Right.
I didn't know the date until after I was absolutely right.
You're absolutely right.
Like, I would have loved to go. I couldn't have changed.
I mean, even for, you know, us as adults, 2 weeks or 3 weeks sometimes isn't enough.
Absolutely.
Right? And we don't have sports and stuff to get a 3 month notice to put it on the calendar. Then you know it's there, and then you turn other events down because you have to go to that.
So then what happens with them if they are selected and they don't attend the tour?
I would say that we'd make sure that that would be one of the pre-questions at the interview that the youth educator could ask out in the hall. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be able to make the tour? And we'll know the date. I mean, I didn't look at it. It's the last Wednesday in June. And I think that has to be part of the selection. If you're making that a mandatory piece, it has to be part of the selection process. I mean, it's highlighted in yellow on the application, so it's pretty clear that we're saying don't apply if you can't attend. But if the process keeps going, I think at some point you're going to have to make a decision. And maybe that's just a reiteration at the meeting, at the interview meeting. Now, you've applied, which indicates you're available for the tour, correct?
Yeah.
But the question was, what if they get through all of it and then they don't?
And then they just don't go to the
I think as a committee,
tour.
You're going to have to decide. What is
your...
Well, if it's mandatory, then it's mandatory. If they don't come to the orientation that first day, then that was the same thing. We had some people that couldn't come to that, and they couldn't do it after they got selected.
Mm-hmm. Is that on there also?
It is not.
Is that something we should put on there also?
And that's been a challenge because we've had conflicts with sports events. That people didn't know. I mean, you're in the spring, and so your team is in, you know, regional finals of some sort, and they just couldn't predict that. And so we've done the orientation with them in our office because they've missed it that night.
But you know, I guess these are the questions that some of the questions that John would used to ask in those.
Not about orientation or being available
for
the tour.
No, but just about the policies. And remember, because we actually changed some of the policies because of the comments that were made in those meetings.
With the youth.
And I think it's important for the youth to have their opinion asked on what do we do with them.
I'm not following. So are we going to make, I mean, I thought the discussion was, is the orientation mandatory?
When John had those quarterly meetings with the youth, they would discuss these questions.
I see what you're saying.
And they, as youth, made the decision.
They made the decision, and then those decisions came back to us.
I'm sorry,
50% and you're out, or less than 50%?
Yes, they came up with that. You're absolutely right. Yeah, and something for the new youth educator, we could say, let's go back to bringing the youth together.
Right.
Trying to find a time for them to have an opportunity to give input, even if it's just two times a year instead of quarterly.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, one in the fall and one in the spring. Yeah. After you've started, and then in the spring as you're wrapping up, give us some feedback about what would be helpful. Yeah. That's a really good point.
Because the question of what do you do with them if they don't make the tour, that would be a good question for the youth to debate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's easy for adults to sit here and say, I'll just get rid of them, but, you know.
Well, especially because you're like, if they don't make the orientation because of, like, a regional finals or something, like our state, like, for my sport, like, it would be in June, so, like, what if that conflicted with the tour instead of the orientation or, like, mm-hmm. something, so.
You're right.
It could have been the same conflict.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And those are hard to predict.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't know until, like, you don't. A couple days before, like, a week before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to predict.
Where do we get a replacement job?
I'll get to that in my director's report.
Yeah. That's coming.
It's okay.
I didn't mean to jump ahead.
So my question is as it's written in the application, are we comfortable keeping it as is?
I think so, because mm-hmm. the orientation you guys can do, the tour isn't something you can do.
Make up.
Right.
Yeah. You can make up the orientation. And.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
But, yeah. And that tour is very important, I think.
I happen to see one other typo as I'm looking at it again. We are using the old term Extension Education Committee. We need to change that to PDEC. So I'll make sure that gets cleaned up. Otherwise, I think everywhere we have it, we'll make sure it's cleaned up, the application. Then if you're okay, this is what will go out in January after February after the nominations are.
It just seems so fast again.
It is. It's here before we know it, we blink. Okay, so now they filled out the application. We have interviews. And my other notes said that we updated the interview form, which I did, and I believe this is the one that was last approved, so you have that. And then you asked for John and I to come up with an interview rating form of those returning members so that they had different questions, right? Mm-hmm. And that was the second interview rating form. In fact, I even labeled it returning YIG member. Does anybody need copies of these?
No, I saw them when you sent them out. I don't remember seeing the returning one.
All right, I said to both of them, so I copied them back to back.
So these are the new questions? Or?
Well, they're only new for the returning number.
All the questions are new or just the?
Yes, they are.
Oh, okay.
So they are totally different. You have a different set of questions if you're participating for the very first time, and the second one is you're now returning. And so I tried to align the question, the rankings or the criteria for the rating with the questions. So why did you choose to reapply? Tell us about one positive experience from serving on your county board committee. How would you describe youth and governance to another student at your school? What is one thing you have learned about Kenosha County that you didn't know before participating in youth and governance?
Those are good questions.
Mm-hmm. These are the verbal questions?
These are the verbal questions that you would ask at the interview.
Okay.
And then lastly, what would you tell us about yourself that make you stand out from the other applicants? So then I tried to get the criteria to match up with what...
Did you? Okay. There.
Yeah, you're right. That's much better.
You think?
Yeah.
Did we hit the mark?
I think so.
So they fill out the same application, but they sit in the interview and you ask them different questions than what they had when they were a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we changed the rating sheet now, so it's a point scale, so it's pretty easy. You circle your number of points, you total them up, it's out of 100. As the chairperson tallies them, it's pretty cut and dry. So are we okay?
Yeah, I like it. Until we do it and then decide that we don't
like
it.
I know.
I think once you run through it, you get that experience.
It seems
good. Yeah. exactly, okay. The last piece that I share with you was just a piece that I pulled together because it was, people kept asking me, other counties are trying to duplicate our program, and they always ask me, how much does it cost? What does it cost? What is it? Well, the county board pays for this, and the county executive's office pays for that, and Brookside donates the lunch. You know, I was like, I don't know, what does it cost? So that's why I did this. And so I laid out, you know, where all the in-kind donations are and what some of the true costs are when it comes to the application process. That's probably where our biggest expense is in the mailings, you know, mailing mm-hmm. things and printing certificates. The county board contributes a lot. I mean, they've been paying for the reception, and thanks to Supervisor Chairman Gentz, he's now kicked in for the bus. So that's a huge contribution. Brookside pays for the lunch. The county executive pays for all the pins. The county clerk gives all those directories. I mean, so mm-hmm. we have a lot of in-kind other departments contributing. So I've started to try to capture what those program costs are. And so this is just an FYI, more for your information only than anything. So I think the only thing left on our to-do list, if you will, as a committee, and we can discuss this, we've got time now, is that we wanted to review the mentor position description. I've heard many discussions about, is that actually fulfilling the expectations we have of mentors? And so that's one of the pieces we'll yet look mm-hmm. at. And sort of look at those elements and say, is it really filling what we wanted it to do?
That, again, would be a good thing for the youth to meet.
Be really
discuss.
Helpful to hear their input.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you know, to get that perspective.
Maybe
yeah.
we could send out.
I can do an electronic
an email
I could.
To them and
I could
ask them
that.
For feedback on the mentors.
Yes.
Just individual feedback, not like a meeting feedback. Like
yeah, a general, just brainstorm. You know, from their perspective.
General.
What recommendations do they have for? Yeah.
I would say. Mentors. General answers for just mentors in general, and then maybe their specific answers if they have, you know, comments.
Committee related or.
Yes, or I like that this mentor did this,
right?
You know, or I didn't like that my mentor did this.
Yeah.
But then also for mentoring in general.
Okay. Very good. I can
maybe,
do that.
Like in the email, we can include like what the guidelines originally were, so you, like, because the youth have only been here for 1 year, they
yeah.
only had one mentor,
mm-hmm.
so they don't really know what to compare it to, like, what the purpose originally was for, so maybe, like.
Excellent
that's
idea,
a good idea,
Ashley.
Yeah.
I can send, here's the current mentor position description,
mm-hmm.
so at least you know what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we just don't have anything to compare it to.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. And then suggestions for, okay. I can do that. I'll wait till the holidays are over so it doesn't get overlooked.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent, good. I think then following all of my notes from all the meetings we've spent reviewing and updating, I think we're okay.
Okay.
Is there anything loose hanging out there from anybody else's memories? I know it has been a lot. That's why luckily I had a lot of notes. And I don't have John here to bounce my idea. What was that again, John? What were we supposed to do?
You should have had him come back down here for this.
I think it's good. He has a whole new set of meetings he's attending now.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay.
How much could they be doing?
I know.
Probably overtake on that.
Okay, so that was the end of that?
That is.
Okay.
Unless anybody has anything else.
Educator program update. We have two.
All right.
Amy?
Pointing to me. All right, just a quick update on our energy assessment program here in the county. We met today with a number of personnel from Public Works and our representative from Focus on Energy and Wheat Energies and a specialist from Madison. Called in and joined our conference call, so we are officially launching a team here of just kind of personnel among the county that are interested and have different skill sets to contribute to this energy assessment and planning team. So we've actually submitted a grant as of yesterday for $8,000 from the State Energy Office for planning assistance. So we'll actually, if we get the grant, we will be looking to take on a LTE. This is all just if we get the funds and how this all works out. But we're gonna bring on an intern with a background in accounting or engineering that would actually help us upload all of the energy usage history for 3 years into Energy Star portfolio. And I was talking to Barb a little bit about it. I didn't realize how complicated even getting the data is and how you can, we're gonna focus on nine of the primary facilities here in the county and how you have to learn all the different meters and how accounts are often linked. So it's a little bit complicated, but we're gonna get it started in the new year. So that started as of yesterday and today. We also met yesterday with a group of stakeholders that will be helping us carry out our hazardous waste and e-waste collection that's scheduled for May 3rd, 2014. Seems like a ways off, but we're actually gonna be doing a pretty elaborate marketing and promotions plan this year and incorporating some social media and even just arranging for co-location of household hazardous waste and e-waste is a little bit trickier. So Public Works is going to be assisting us as well with that. We're going to use our cold storage building and assist about getting some volunteers involved so that we can route the traffic and do all of that. So that was also really good on Tuesday that we met for that. As far as downtown development, economic development, we formalized the arrangement that we're going to be doing an economic impact analysis of storefront renovations for the Main Street program in Kenosha, and the UW Extension is going to be providing the oversight for the research component of that study. So they're crediting, and even like nationwide, there's a UW study out there from 1986 that they're referencing like very heavily, and it's just not real robust. So this is a really great opportunity to get some research about the impact of storefront renovations and how we can actually get more property owners to invest in their buildings. So last thing is the First Impressions program that I referred to in my kind of update. We're gonna do an exchange between Joliet and Kenosha. CABA really wanted us to look into the metro Chicago area for a partner city, similar demographics, similar kind of historical development and things like that. So it turned out that Joliet was very receptive. They've got a new downtown development director that's willing to do this. So we actually recruit a team of volunteers, six volunteers, that go into each other's communities unannounced and have a number of components that they observe, so design qualities, knowledgeable staff and customer service in the restaurants and hotels, and there's a whole list, appearance of municipal buildings and just walkability, and there's a number of really interesting kind of first impressions that we assess by visitors. So anyways, that is going to happen in the spring that we bring the visitors. So I'm revising the curriculum entirely because it was really based for like small town, rural America. So we need to revamp that entirely to suit a large city that has a pretty vibrant, revitalizing downtown. And then we're also going to put that on the web so people can use their mobile devices while they're walking around and assessing those things. So a lot of things going on. It's really exciting.
Very cool. Any questions?
The e-waste or the hazardous waste, isn't Kenosha doing something at the...
The city?
Yeah. Is that for city residents only? Or
right.
Yeah.
Okay. And we can't seem to get an agreement between the city and the county, and I wasn't really encouraged to pursue anything on that level. So there are some other models where counties work across. So like, I know Waukesha works very closely with Walworth and Jefferson to allow some kind of reciprocity agreements, but we'll have to see.
When people are arching out here, anybody can bring it?
Technically, there is a residency requirement, but if someone from Racine or Walworth comes, they do accept there, so it's not to be promoted.
The city can be responsible?
Yes.
Because it's countywide.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
Yep.
Any other questions? Okay.
Quickly, I'll just throw some numbers at you because we're at year end. So, first of all, we finished our 2013 Master Gardener class. We offered it in the fall this year to try something a little bit different. And we held it east of the eye to also be a little bit different for that, to see if we would attract some different people than what we would do in the US. So anyway, we had 35 who completed the course, and now they need to finish their 24 hours of volunteer time before October 1st of 2014, so a little more extra for them. We also have the hours for all of our existing or continuing Master Gardeners for the year. And so in Kenosha and Racine counties, they donated 8,925 hours, so almost 9,000 hours. And Meryl and I were kind of going back and forth a little bit about, at the value of about $23 an hour, slightly above, because they are considered a skilled volunteer, the value to the two counties is over $233,000, so volunteer service. So always very proud of them and what they do. And there's around, and I couldn't get the spreadsheet to sort right or figure it out, and I didn't have time to count everyone, but there's around a little less than 200 Master Gardeners in the two counties.
Wow. How did those numbers compare to last year?
I honestly didn't have time to look. Oh. I can tell you next later on. I can get that information.
Just comparing West Kenosha to East Kenosha.
Well, they you mean for the, that was just for the volunteer training.
Right. Right.
Oh, you mean for the training? Did we get more from Kenosha when we offered it east than west? No, we actually had less.
Okay.
But I also don't know how much we offered it during the day. It was a weekday afternoon. And I get a lot of demand, more demand from Kenosha residents than Racine residents for either an evening or a weekend class. So we try to rotate days of the week and daytime.
Okay. Any questions for Barb?
No. That green...
The green works?
Do those volunteer, the people that just graduate will volunteer for this? Okay.
Yes, one of them has already contacted me late last week and said, I'm ready to get going. I'm really interested in Kenosha Achievement Center. When can I start? I said, wait. Let us get through the holidays first. But yes, they are in January. They will, all of the projects that are approved for Kenosha and Racine counties will get an opportunity to share with all of the new and the continuing Master Gardener volunteers. And then they can sign up or indicate which projects they're interested in working on.
So you've got projects that you
We don't tell them, they tell us which ones they want to
work on. Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah. It would be nicer if I could assign them, because then I could you know, make sure everything is covered nicely, but it doesn't work that way. They are volunteers.
Okay. Any other questions?
No.
Okay. Thanks, Barb.
Thank you.
All right, Teddy.
My two updates are related to personnel. To respond to Supervisor Underhill's question about our youth development educator position, it closed on the 10th, which was Monday. So now all those applications are screened to see those candidates who meet the minimum qualifications. And then we select candidates for preliminary interviews, and those are January 23rd. And then we have a final interview committee, and those are scheduled for February 17th. So in a perfect world, if that all goes through the process and we have candidates who we bring to a final interview viable, and we find a candidate of whom we are ready to make an offer, I would expect a new person to start probably middle of March or beginning of April.
Oof.
Yeah. long process, yeah.
And this.
Pardon?
What about this stuff here with the music governance? Isn't that a part of the job? Or are you going to handle that?
You're looking at her.
Yeah, Teddy gets all of it.
Good, well, I'm glad to hear that.
And so on top of doing youth development, I am also now our, many of you know Amy Martinez, the other young woman in our staff who was pregnant and had her baby. She had a baby boy, mm-hmm. Luca. And Amy has resigned to be a full-time mom. So now we have a vacancy in our Nutrition Education Program Administration. And so I and my colleague Bev Baker, who's the department head in Racine, since it's a two-county program, we're providing the oversight and administration for our Racine-Kenosha Nutrition Education Program. And that position will be posted in February or March. I'm sorry, January or February, with interviews to be held in March. So we'll have another vacancy to fill.
You should make it a qualification. No pregnancies within the first 5 years of employment.
You didn't say that.
I know. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke.
That's
just like they can't move within.
My dates. So life is interesting.
Okay. I bet. Well, let me know if you need any help with anything. All right. That is it for Extension Education. Does anyone have any questions?
Ooh.
No? Okay.
Thank you.